born to die, that he might give eternal life, that I might live.
Welcome to Yankee Arnold Ministries. Dr. Arnold will be with you in just a moment, but first, we want you to know how much we appreciate your prayers and financial support. You may help this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Again, that's 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634. Feel free to send Dr. Arnold your questions or comments to Yankee at YankeeArnold.com, and he will respond as quickly as possible. Now, here is Dr. Arnold with today's message.
Jesus saved my soul that night.
Well, I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew in chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, a very interesting portion of Scripture that kind of deals with the things that we say. Now, we've been studying in the book of James, and it tells us some things that we have as far as conflicts, in which God is going to reward us when we get to heaven if we had victory over the lust of the flesh. That's internal pressures. You know, the desires that you control. And then he says, I'll reward you when you get to heaven if you have victory over external pressures. You know, you're going to have trials and tribulation and people problems and financial problems and all the social problems. But if he says, if you have victory over those things, he says, I'm going to reward you when you get to heaven. And then he tells us some things about we need to do as our good works that we do. That has nothing to do with what people do to us, but what we do for them in James chapter 2. So it's a very important book on the Christian life. And God said, I'm going to reward you when you get to heaven if you have good works in your life. Now remember, good works doesn't get you to heaven. You go to heaven because of what Christ did, not what you do. But now that you're God's child, you have eternal life, well, you're not there yet. So God left us here. Now it's not just a matter of getting victory and doing good works. Is it possible for you to do good deeds for people while you're blessing them out with the tongue? Do wonderful things, but then you use that little tongue of yours and you cut somebody real sharp and become bitter. And it brings out all that poison inside of you and you infect other people. Is that possible? Yes, it is. So God tells us something that we need to keep in mind. I read this in Sunday school, but let me just mention it to you real quickly again. Sometimes we say things we wish we hadn't have said. We do things we wish we hadn't have done. But sometimes we might encourage somebody to do something we wish we hadn't have encouraged them to do. Well, sometimes you do things that you wish you hadn't have done. And then sometimes you let people talk you into doing something that you wish you hadn't have done. This little tongue right here that we have can be a world of good or a world of iniquity. And this is what the Lord says in verse 33. So look there in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Jesus speaking, he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. A generation, old generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasures of the hearts bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now, this isn't talking about what you said on purpose. This is just idle words, just idle chatter. Ever get to bed again with somebody, just idle chatter, just talk about anything. And a lot of times, have you ever noticed that you, I know you won't ever accuse yourself, that idle chatter can be idle gossip. You just, you know, you're not gossiping, you know, real bad. It's just that it's for prayer. I mean, you wouldn't say anything against anybody unless it was good. And boy, is this good. And you have things that you want to share. You know, dirt that you got on somebody. Always remember, when you throw dirt, you lose ground. You get that? Have you ever found out that when you want to give somebody a piece of your mind, you're in most desperate need of it? For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So in the book of James, we're not talking about going to heaven, being justified to go to heaven. We're talking about being justified, cleared by God, that what you said was right, or what you did that was right. God is the one who is the just one, and he's the justifier of those who need to be justified. So when we were ungodly and unlovable, he saved us by making a payment for our sins, and we are justified. Just as if I've never sinned, I have been declared righteous by God. I'm his child. I'm going to heaven when I die. All right, but he didn't take me to heaven yet. He left me here. Since he left me here, he wants me to do certain things for him. So there's things that I'm to do, things I'm to say, a way I'm supposed to live. And so God says, for the rewards in heaven and to be blessed here and for position of service in the kingdom, he says, it depends upon what you do for me. Now, God ain't going to make you do anything for him. You can trust Christ as Savior, have eternal life, go to heaven when you die, and not do a thing for the Lord. But if you want more than the natural man, if you want more than just the things of this world, well, then you're going to have to serve the Lord. Now, nobody can make you do it. But if you decide to do it, God says, I'm going to reward you, and I'll make it worth your while. So you have a battle within you. It's called the two natures. And I want you to take your Bible, turn now to the book of James in chapter 3. Now, the book of James, chapter 3, right after the book of Hebrews. And I want you to look there in James chapter 3. And you'll notice there's a teaching here. I'll show you this in just a second. But first of all, I want you to look up here. After you find James chapter 3, I want you to look at me. Over here. Now, this is when we are born into the world. This is our flesh birth. Our flesh birth has a sinful nature. We sin naturally. This flesh birth is not the child of God. It's not the child of God. It doesn't do anything right. This is an evil tree. This evil tree has bad fruit. And so this tree can only bring forth bad fruit. So therefore, you can tell the tree by its fruit. So since every individual in the world does something wrong, then we all know that it's a bad tree because it has a sinful nature, and the fruit is the proof that it's a bad tree. So God says, these trees here, God said, I don't want these trees in heaven because they got bad fruit. Why? Because in heaven is a perfect place. If God lets us go to heaven the way we are, then we'll have bad fruit in heaven. That means we'll lie, steal, cheat, murder, and rob, and rape, and all that. We'll do all that in heaven. Why? Because that's what we do down here. Bad trees here will be a bad tree there. So God says, this bad tree with this bad fruit can't go to heaven. That's why you needed a Savior. God says that he's going to give you a new birth. Oh, when you trust Christ as your Savior, you became a tender plant, a little bitty newborn Christian. This one over here is a new birth. This one here has a divine nature. This one can't sin because it's born of God. And if it can't sin, it can't die. So if it can't sin, it can't die. This little newborn child here, this belongs to God. God is its father. That's why now God becomes your father. You become God's child. This one has a divine nature, can't do anything wrong. Well, then you got this one over here. This is a bad tree, and the bad tree got bad fruit. This is a good tree born of God. And it can only bring forth good fruit. It can't bring forth the bad fruit. Why? Because it has no sinful nature. So your new birth, born of God, can only do good. This old sinful nature can only do bad. And guess where both of them live? Inside of this one body. Inside of my body, I have both of these living inside of me. And they're fighting for the controls of my body. So the Bible says, out of the evil treasures, the mouth speaks. Out of good treasure, the mouth speaks. What God says, now, you only got one mouth. Some people, I think, have two or three. You got one mouth. Out of this one mouth, you're supposed to speak one or the other. Now, since you're a child of God, which one do you think God wants you to control? He wants you to let the new birth with a divine nature bring forth out of its treasures wisdom. Over here, this is the old man, the old nature. And so this one wants to reveal its wisdom. So from the same mouth reveals one of two things. the wisdom of man or the wisdom of God. So this one is born of God, has a divine nature, only that which is right. Over here we have a sinful nature. This is the child of the flesh, not born of God. And this wisdom is fighting to express itself. So now you have a battle of the wills that are to reveal the wisdom and where it comes from. So look what he says here in verse 13. Verse 13. Who is a wise man among you? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good behavior, conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitterness, a bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, don't brag about that, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Now look up here. There is the wisdom of the world. This man of the world can only learn the wisdom of the world. Now, this one over here is born of God. This one is to learn the wisdom of God. So that's why in order for this one to gain wisdom, it has to come from the Word of God. So when you read the Bible and you study it, you're taking God's wisdom, putting it into this mind, a new mind, so that this child can make the right decisions, and it'll be revealed in the tongue and in your life. This one, if it controls your life, is going to reveal the wisdom of the world. So as you live day by day, you'll have problems of all kinds. Some will be financial problems, health problems, people problems, you name it, you're going to have them. You got those whenever you were born into this world. You got troubles. I got troubles. Everybody's got troubles. But now your wisdom is revealed, and how do you handle your problems? How do you handle troubles? So you're going to have the will of man versus the wisdom of God. So the wisdom of man has a way in which he solves problems, and the wisdom of God has a way in which God wants you to solve problems. And these two are not the same. If it's different, it's not the same. This is different. They're not the same. They battle back and forth all the time. So God says, my brethren, he says, there is a wisdom of the world that's earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. It's deceptive. In other words, you might think you're being wise when you're just being nothing but a smart aleck. Not very wise. You see, you're not wise because you know what to do. You're wise if you will do it. You're not wise because you know you should serve the Lord. You're wise if you serve the Lord. Not because you know. I've had people say, well, I know the Bible. I've been to the Bible 100 times. I know the Bible. Blah, 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 blah. And they think that makes them smart. They're wise. No. If you don't obey God, you're a fool. You're a fool. Anybody's a fool who does not serve God. You're a fool. Because why, if you're so smart, would you waste your life? Now, look what else he says in verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now look up here. There is the wisdom which is of the earth. That's what this one feeds upon. The wisdom of man. How smart he is and what he learns from people in the world. Then there's the wisdom of God, where a man learns God's wisdom, and this will make the man smarter. Now, remember this. The dumbest child of God is wiser than the smartest man. Now, you have to figure that out for a while, but understand that. So now God said, I want you to bring forth the wisdom of God. And it's going to be revealed by the tongue. The tongue is going to reveal how smart you really are, how wise you are. Now, look what he says here in verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. With what? The tongue. With this same tongue, look up here, I bless God. Praise the Lord. and I do right. And I say right things, good thing. And then with the same tongue, I curse man. He says, my brethren, this ought not so to be. In other words, he says, how can the same tongue bring forth sweet and bitter at the same time? He says it's not supposed to be. Because you see, whenever you have this new birth, God put this one in charge of the body. You're not supposed to let this guy run your life, revealing wisdom of the world. You're supposed to reveal the wisdom of God, because you take in the wisdom from God and then you use that body of yours with the tongue that you've got and everything else you got to reveal that to individuals. So now look what he says. He says in verse 11, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? What's the answer? No. In other words, it's not supposed to come out of the same spigot. So you turn it on, you get both of them at the same time. No. And you don't, even with the tongue. It's one or the other. One nature is always under control at any given time. Just like somebody said, and I don't know how to figure that out, you can't think two thoughts at the same time. My wife can think 10 thoughts at the same time while she's reading my mind on top of that. Look what it says in verse 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So we're talking to Christian. My brethren is to those who believe. So there's believers who are using the same tongue which they praise God and bring blessings to God, and at the same time they're cursing man that God made. And he says, now this ought not be. In other words, it is not the will of God for you to walk in the spirit and the flesh. Which one do you think God wants you to walk in? The spirit, not the flesh. You're not supposed to let the flesh control your life. But is it possible? Yes. This ought not to be, but it is. Because you're having in your life the envying and the jealousy, the strife, the bickering. All those, he says, that comes from the wisdom of the world. That comes from this man. You see, the wisdom of God produces peace within you. Peace within you. And that's what he says there in the last part of verse 17 and also in verse 18. Look there in verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? No. Either a vine, figs? No. And so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh, same time. Because it's two different sources. But here you are with one body, two sources. Now, one has to control what's going to come out of your mouth. Is it going to be the wisdom of God or the wisdom of man? And there's a battle. Isn't it true that you know some things to do that's right? And you know what's wrong? And you'll still do wrong instead of doing right, even though you know to do right? And if you do that, is that wrong? Well, slap my mouth. That's what the Bible said. Look there in James chapter 4. Look in verse 14. Verse 14. Whereas, you know not what shall be on the morrow. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Not really. You do not know what another day is going to bring forth. I mean, if John had known he's going to be eaten up with hornets, he wouldn't have probably wondered where those hornets were. If he knew he's going to step on that nail, he probably wouldn't have stepped on that nail. I mean, that's just, if you know that. But see, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know if that car is going to break down. If you knew it was going to break down, you wouldn't have got in and started down the road. If you knew, for sure, positively, begun to shout it out, you wouldn't have done it. He says, for even your life, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. In other words, you're here, you're gone. Believe it or not, see, some of these kids right here, they will never grow up. They don't even know the world is going on. They say your dreams are more likely to be fulfilled if you don't oversleep. But he makes the statement here in verse 14, it appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. And if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. In other words, do you realize how much is in the will of God? And that God can determine certain things. Look what he says in verse 16. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Have you ever seen somebody? I mean, especially here's three guys on the tee box. Three guys on the tee box. And one guy says, "You guys better brought your A game today. You guys better bring your A game today." And what that means is that that guy has brought his A game, and you're going to have to be on top in order to beat him, right? Does the guy really know how he's going to play the game before he plays the game? No. No, you don't know what's going to happen. There were people who had already said, "He's done got this thing won." But he didn't. He didn't. You see, that's why you still... Why do we have to play any of these ball games? Let's just say who won and let it go at that. Well, we know they got this thing won. How many times I've seen them do that? And an underdog come up there and just stomp them. They do it all the time. Because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't really know. And so he says here in verse 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? To him it is sin." Do you know to do right? Yes, you do. Do you know what you're supposed to do concerning the tongue? Yeah, you do. And you'll still curse somebody and be bitter and envious and jealous. But you know it's wrong, right? Yeah, but you do it anyway, right? Don't you get mad at people and you want to choke them? Even a few people you'd like to kill? Christian love? Because you love to do it. But you have within you an old sinful nature that still, you know it's wrong, and yet you won't always keep it under control. But then how are you supposed to get this victory stuff? Well, that's what's interesting. That's why you need church, and that's why you need each other, and that's why you need to pray. That's why you have to do all the things that are right. So he says here that you've got a battle. Now, I want you to look in verse 1 of chapter 3. Verse 1 of chapter 3. He says, "My brethren," talking to believers, not lost people, "be not many masters," that means teachers, because what does a teacher do? Speaks with the what? With the tongue. And if you say something that's wrong, you got a lot of people that might do wrong because they heard you say it. So the tongue can also teach a lot of people a lot of truth. But if there's people who are listening to what you say and may make decisions based upon what you say, do you think you need to be careful what you say? Is it possible for you to kill the love of someone? No, you may not take a gun and go blow them away, but you'll say mean, hateful, cutting things that will kill somebody's love for you or for somebody else. You'll take somebody else and pull them down into the mud and walk all over them and make somebody else think bad of other people. That is a very hard thing to control, ain't it? You can drive a car down a road, and you can fly an airplane, and big old ships, but that little thing right there, you can't control it. You cannot tame the tongue. The Bible says you can't tame the tongue. The tongue will speak the things that's in your heart. In other words, if you who live inside of this body have these two natures and the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world, there you are. Now, what are you going to speak? Where your heart's desire is. If your heart's desire is in the things of the flesh and this is where your treasure is in the things of the world, your tongue is going to reveal that. But if you'll live in the things of God and the wisdom of God out of the treasures of your heart, the mouth what? Speaks. When you speak, your mind is on parade. People can see inside of your mind by discerning the words by which you speak. And therefore, some people never talk about the Lord. Wouldn't it be a shame for you to go to work tomorrow and you can live all day, talk to everybody under the sun, and you never talk about the Lord? Never talk about what he did for you or how they can have eternal life. You never talk about any of the wisdom of God and what God can do for somebody. But you can talk to them about football, you can talk to them about golf, you can talk to them about the weather, you can talk to them about everything, but you can't talk to them about the Lord. Because, you see, your treasure isn't the spiritual things. Your treasure is in the material things. You're more concerned about what people think of you than what you think of them. See, when you learn to think about people and what their needs are, then you know that they need spiritual truths, not the wisdom of the world. So it determines where you are. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And God says every man is going to be judged by the words. It means that you're going to either be blessed here, rewarded there, based upon what you say, because what you say reveals where your heart is. For where a man's treasure is, there is his heart also. And so, therefore, God says you're going to be justified for the rewards based upon if you're justified by your words. So that every man will reap what he sows. You reap what you sow. And some people are using the wisdom of the world, and you're sowing envy, and you're sowing bitterness, you're sowing jealousy, you're sowing hatred. You sow that because it permeates your life. And when it permeates your life, you're going to defile many others. And then because of that, you're not sowing peace, you'll have no peace. You sow wrath, you'll reap wrath. That's why so many of God's people never learn how to have victory in the Christian life, because they don't understand what's going on. He says there in verse 2, "For in many things we all offend." In other words, it'd be great if everybody was perfect, we didn't do anything wrong, and we had total victory over the soul fellow over here, and he never got up, never got any. No, as you live your life, you'll always find out. I don't care how victorious you want to live, he's always there and he's always fighting. And he's always slipping things out through your mouth. That slipped. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. You didn't mean to do it. That shows you how real he is. And next thing you know, you're saying it. And then there's some things you know, I shouldn't have said that. And then you say things on purpose. And then sometimes you might slip and say something you wish you hadn't said. It means you didn't have total control. You don't always control all the lust of the flesh. Wouldn't it be great if you did? But he says, "But in many things we offend all. But if any man offend not in word, the same as a mature man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Here, look up here now. The whole book of James has to deal with one main thing. What? You're controlling the body. Have you ever seen a little chihuahua and a great big old German police dog? And the little chihuahua, that dog doesn't understand the situation. All mouth. That's all it is, all mouth. I told a lady one day, I says, "Man, did you realize that that little chihuahua can kill that Rottweiler or a German police dog?" She said, "Really?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. If it ever gets caught in his throat." You'll find out that, you know, some people are nothing, but that's all. They're all mouth. They have no wisdom whatsoever. But they talk all the time and they have no wisdom. Talk but never say anything of value. You want to realize this tongue that you have, though it's so small, it can ruin the whole body. Have you ever seen somebody who has a wonderful testimony in all areas except for their mouth? If they could just control that tongue, they'd be fine. But they ruin so much and they don't know when to shut up. It's okay to talk. But they don't know when to quit. And you say, "Yeah, do you know what time it is, preacher?" But they don't know when to shut up. You go down through here and it talks about how that you can take and put a bit in a horse's mouth and you can lead that whole horse, that great big horse, around. God is talking about how to control the body. You have a body. This is why the Apostle Paul says, "I keep my body and I bring my body into subjection." Would take
my place. Do you have to be baptized in water to be saved and go to heaven? Would that make the person who baptized you your Savior? There are at least 5 baptisms in the Bible. Which one gets you to heaven? Pastor Yankee Arnold has prepared just the right book with answers straight from the Bible. The book is called Gospel Driven Man, and Pastor Yankee wants to send it to you free of charge. Simply write to Pastor Yankee at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634, and request the book. Or request by email at yankee@yankeearnold.com. That's yankee@yankeearnold.com.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast. We pray that today's message was a blessing to you and your family. You may help support this radio ministry by donating online at yankeearnold.com or by mail at Yankee Arnold Ministries, 7028 West Waters Avenue, Suite 316, Tampa, Florida, 33634.
Friend, one day it will happen. The trumpet will sound, and we will be changed, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So live today and every day, believing that the Lord is coming soon, and just keep looking up.
Amazing grace amazes me.